Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Redefining Security podcast. Have you ever thought that we are selling cybersecurity insincerely, buying it indiscriminately, and deploying it ineffectively? Perhaps we are. So let's look at how we can organize a successful InfoSec program that integrates people, process, technology, and culture to drive growth and protect business value. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Key Resources has the software and services to help you manage mainframe vulnerabilities. Our mission is to guarantee a return on our clients' security investments by minimizing their exposure to data and security risks. Learn more at krisecurity.com. iTrust collaborates with privacy, security, and risk management leaders from public and private sectors to develop, maintain, and provide its widely adopted risk and compliance management frameworks, assessments, and assurance methodologies. Learn more at itrust.com. Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com.
Marco.
Sean.
What's the glue of the organization?
It depends. What do they... Is a company that make glue? In that case, it's the product.
Yeah, that's a good point.
No, I know where you're going. The glue is...
I won't go down the horse racing thing. That's all different glue story.
Now, I say that the glue, and because I know what we're about to talk, it's easy. The answer is HR.
Yes. It's
the people. It's the people
People are the glue, and HR is the glue of the glue. It's the super glue.
It's the super glue. All right. Now, we're confusing people here. Let's start from the beginning. So, the channel, Sean, what channel is this?
This is Redefining Security. This episode is part of a series we're doing looking at the relationship between security and different functions in the organization. And hopefully looking at it from two angles. One, how can security enable those functions to succeed? But then how can security become part of it to leverage that function, to really drive security into all areas of the business, right?
Yeah. And that's why today's conversation is not like the past one. For example, when we talk about the legal department and their relationship with cybersecurity, it is about HR and the relationship with cybersecurity, but because that glue, which HR represent for the people that come and work in the company, may have a much more important role in presenting and making the company be part of the cultural change that come with cybersecurity, or that should come with cybersecurity. And that's the question for our guest.
And we have the guest that has the answer.
Woohoo! Nice.
No pressure. Oh, yeah. No pressure. Dora Ross, thank you so much for joining us for this episode.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me on your podcast. And I am very, very happy to be here and share my knowledge around HR and how they are the glue and how we work together in terms of security and HR. So just a little bit about me. So I'm from London, and I am an information security culture transformation awareness and training specialist. Essentially, what I do is help organizations build their cybersecurity resilience by helping to raise the employees' security awareness. And that's all that can all happen in collaboration with HR. They are so, so important. Working together, we can enable people to be a better at cybersecurity and to become our first line of defense.
Yeah, I love it. And you're being very humble because you do so much for the community, I believe, through SANS and many other things. And I want to start off with security people listening to this and maybe even HR people who've been approached by security. The first thing that probably comes to mind is setting up a training program. But it has to be so much more than that, if I'm not mistaken. So Maybe if you can kind of just give us an overview of maybe some of the touch points that HR and security should work together beyond just security awareness training.
Exactly. So I think it all starts from the very beginning and building trust and really strong relationships with HR, learning and development, and various other sort of departments. Because they are, you know, HR and learning and development are really specialized in the legalities and how to employ people, what to look out for, and the training that they need, mandatory and bespoke training. And when I come in, for example, from security culture background, I've got the specialist knowledge around cybersecurity, but I need to work and work and create that trust with HR. So we work together because they know the best what would work for people, what channels to use, what communication to leverage. So it's really important. But it's not just, it is not absolutely just about the education piece, but the onboarding as well, for example. So it is even before people start working for us, is that initial contact when HR reaching out to people that, hey, you know, you will be joining us and here is the initial pack. So creating that security awareness for people already, that security will be important. And we are one team with HR. So it's not them and us and technology and whatever finance, but we are in one organization. We are one team and security is everyone's responsibility. And that's how initially we reach out to people and bring them on board together with HR.
I'm wondering when is that, and of course, there's not an exact date, right? It's not the beginning of the Second World War was this day. But when was kind of like the things started to change and HR starting to get connected with the cybersecurity culture, with the cybersecurity importance in within an organization? Was it a business decision? Was it the news? What was it?
Right. So it's really interesting because I think for different organizations, it's completely different when HR gets more interested about cybersecurity. Recently, in the last year, I would say definitely since the pandemic started, it was even more heightened because people started working from home. So, being more cyber aware and be careful how people are setting up their homework environment created a heightened awareness around cybersecurity, and they had to build it in, or we together had to build it into the security, into the corporate culture. So it's not two different languages. So we got the corporate culture, this is how we do things, and then there's the security language coming into play. But it's interweaved into both of the cultures. So HR is essential at the very well, now from this point onwards, going forward. You know, it's one thing, so it's interweaved. But a few years back, it was two separate things, and it was security and technology, and they so bring in this information, this mandatory training, and it's two separate things. But again, different companies are a different journey in their lives, and it depends on how important it is for them, what type of data they're working with, how exposed they are. So it's totally different depending on where you work.
And before we get into more of a technical programs and switching the right levers and stuff, do you feel like now your job has become more to find people that are already security minded, or it's more of let's get someone and then we bring them on because of other skills, of course, and then we train them on security when they're in? I mean, is that a balance of the two maybe?
I think nowadays more important the attitude of the people. If you got the right attitude, then people can learn anything. So people might not be security minded, and maybe at the point of the interview, interview for a job, depends on what it is, they might not talk about security and might not even think about it, and they might not even appreciate how important it is. But as long as they have got the appetite for it and they can understand why it's important to protect our data and our information, then that's the number one. You've got the right people in terms of the attitude and the experience, and they can learn everything else.
Yeah, and then, so I want to take a look at this from all of the activities, all maybe is not the right word, but some of the activities that HR performs, and kind of look at it through the lens of the security team? Because what I'm thinking is, I mean, there's putting job postings up on the website, there's working with recruiters, there's interviewing processes, there's onboarding. And when you mention the pandemic and the change where there maybe is a heightened awareness between HR and security, I presume that's because they have to connect through a VPN, right? They're delivered a machine to their home and they have to set it up versus an internal IT person having their desk ready with the computer and everything in place. And so for me, and as I look at all the different stages of the employee life cycle, from bringing folks in and onboarding them and keeping them going, is there an opportunity for security to be present in each of those places? And not just, here's your secure machine, but this is why we use a VPN. This is why we use multi-factor authentication. This is why we do security awareness training. And that becomes part of the materials that you're using as you're talking to candidates, bringing people on board. So I don't want to say too much because I'd want to hear it from you, but I have this view that there's so much opportunity for security to be part of all of that. And do you have any examples to share perhaps?
Yes, well, absolutely. So yes, you're right. Most of the people now would start remotely and they will get their laptops and whatever else, you know, equipment they have. And it's so important. For example, yes, they have their mobile phone and they might need to download some sort of applications to make multi-factor authentication to be able to log into the laptops. So rather than just explain, for example, that these are the steps we need to do, and there you go, now you enabled your machine and you can work for us, it is telling a story to people. So when the onboarding, beside the people elements that HR bring in very, very nicely, and the corporate elements with all the language and et cetera, the security element could be part of that journey and that story when the people onboarding and they know from the start that why we're doing things and why it's important, and also think about the personal and home life for people as well. So it's not just you need to have these extra steps to be able to log into your laptop, but explain why, and really clearly explain why, and draw examples, real examples from that work environment as well. So it's not just for the organization why it's important, you know, to protect the data. Well, what could happen in your personal life as well if you don't have that multi-factor authentication or various different elements? What is a VPN and why it's important to log in through that to your to the work environment? And also, tips on how to just change your router password as well at home. So please don't just use whatever is the factory one. But to be honest, people, why would they think about that? You know, as long as they can work and at home, they can just log into their internet. Why would they even think that they need to change the router? So it's important to explain why and what could happen if you just use the default one and someone could hack into it. And not, you can lose a lot of things, to be honest. So it's bringing it to life with real life stories and what could be the loss personally as well. So I think, you know, building that work and home security knowledge, so people start behaving in a way at home that will be beneficial for the work environment as well. So bringing that knowledge as a second, how you say it. So it's so natural. The security is like a natural thing to do. So you don't even have to think about it. You just know to lock your screen even when you're at home and no one's around, or something like that. You know, or I don't know, use a screen protector if you are outside of the you're on a train when you can travel, or anything like that. Just be mindful of what you're speaking, you know, if you are amongst people that you don't know. So things like that, steps like that, it's just if it becomes a second nature, then that's really what we want to achieve with the security culture change and enablement.
You know what is funny? We went from don't bring your own device to you must bring your own device. But
bring your own office.
But you need to bring the device that we tell you to bring.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. And as you're describing all this, Dor, I'm wondering who leads this effort, kind of back to Marco's point, because HR knows who they're speaking to when and why, and they have the channels to do that, but they may not have the knowledge, rightfully so, to say this is why we use MFA, right? And this is the right place to make that comment or to inject that into the process. And security team knows all about MFA, but they don't know the HR process and say, this is the best time. Is it best to do that before we onboard or as we're onboarding, or is this an ongoing training or all of the above? And so how does that connection and collaboration start, and who leads that charge?
Yeah, so I believe that it has to be a constant sort of activity. It's not just once you look over the HR processes and it's done, because things can change and you know, regulations might change and you might be able to interject depending on which area you are. And yes, HR and technology absolutely needs to have that linkage, because technology is the one who may be you know, able to set up the system according to what HR said, who needs what access. So it's very, very important that that link between them. However, when you know, HR might not be able to express themselves technologically how they what they want in terms of the new starters, and technology might not be able to express themselves in a HR language. So this is where normally I come in as a security. It's like I used to be a business change sort of person. That was my job before moving into security culture change and awareness. So I'm the transition between, I'm the communication channel between the two. So I can translate technological information into HR language, and then I can sort of do the other way around as well. So it's looking at the processes, literally analyzing, mapping out what are the HR processes, where they interlink with technology. That's where you can see you know, the points where you can interject in terms of communication as well, communication to the new starter and communication to various departments as well.
Yeah, so let's go back to the glue idea, the joke we had at the beginning, but it could also be represented as a web, right? So you are sitting right in the middle of the web. And as we're connecting, Sean, in this conversation, different department, I feel like that communication thread always has to pass through the middle before it get to the other one. So No pressure there for HR, right? But how are you evolving or how should HR evolve to be this middle man, middle woman, middle of the communication, these filters middle that robot. Then allows everybody to work together with the cybersecurity in mind, and how to actually change department procedure to be secure?
Yeah, so not every organization have you know, a dedicated security culture person. In fact, there's not many, even though now there's more organizations. Well, that's a good question. I think now I have noticed there's a lot more opportunities out there for you know, security awareness manager, etc. I guess because it is a specialist knowledge, but it's HR, you know, more than capable of picking this up if they have got the appetite for it. But as I said, it is quite specialist knowledge. You know, you need to work with really segmented, maybe per department, or depends on the risk profile of the individual or the group of people. So it's quite a layered approach in terms of the security awareness. In terms of the process between technology and HR, the more than capable, I believe, to, you know, work together to understand each other's language and make sure that they interlink when they need to create a more secure process, you know, for new starters, that enables people already onboarding in a secure way and not know about security awareness. So it just depends on the appetite for, you know, actually working together and someone starting it. And it is important to do the work together, because it is one organization, one team, really. But you need to find the time to have some dedicated people within each department to every now and then sit together, look through the process, or maybe a business analyst or something could help them to really understand where those points where they need to really work together.
Yeah, and we Marco and I had a conversation with a gentleman who's known as the first CISO, Steve Katz, and in the conversation with him, we're talking about the future of the CISO role and it not just being a single person with a single purpose. It was many people with many functions. And I kind of see that here as well, where the connection between security and HR and that relationship perhaps needs that connector, that connecting role, that connecting person, that connecting function. So do you see that as a new opportunity? Of course, you can't ask a small business to or an SME to have all of these roles and all these functions. But as companies mature, do you see that as a viable option?
Absolutely. I think, and it is not just about the education piece and communication, but it is creating that relationship amongst many different departments and, you know, analyzing the risk. There's so many layers for this role to create that awareness within the organization and, of course, the processes as well. So it is quite an in-depth role, and I think there's definitely value in having that individual, or if it is a larger organization, then having maybe an individual and some team members, or creating like a security champions network, which means that you have got some people who may be interested in or even excited about security in different departments. And that's the best way, because if you want to speak with legal or finance, you need to have someone who understands their language, how they communicate and what's important for them. So for me, you know, I'm a one sort of person doing this role in an organization. So for me to reach out to different departments, I need to have a way in, and that person is a trusted person. So you know, you don't necessarily need to employ a lot of people. You just need to find that linkage with people who might be interested in security. And you can train them up, you can help them, you can give them, you know, some rewards, depend on, you know, what kind of level of engagement they do, and then spread all the messages that's necessary to build up the resilience of the organization.
Yeah, I love that. And HR clearly has the ear of the workforce, right? Yeah. They are ultimately hopefully the most trusted part of the business for the employees. And so we're talking about trust here and we're talking about communication. And I'm wondering, have you seen organizations try to communicate directly between security and the employees, and that may fail because either the trust isn't there, the channels aren't there, what we're talking about now, you just described as the language understanding isn't there as well. Have you seen things go way off track because of that? And is there a scenario you can present where things really worked because security, instead of trying to go direct, worked through HR?
Yeah, so it's very important beside HR to actually work with comms as well, because they really know how to brand things, what tone to use, and HR has got the necessary channels that you might want to use, and that's sort of the trust within people. So I think creating that relationships with HR, and so you learn from each other. So maybe we upskill them, you know, in security, and then they are the first way in to people to talk about security awareness, and almost introducing us from security, you know, who will come and talk to you more. So they lead the way in, and then you got that sort of trusted channel to go with and talk with people. And again, as I said, so for example, it could be HR, could be the security champions, that you give as much knowledge as possible to them, and they are the voice then to their people and to their teams. So it can absolutely work really well, so long as you build up that trust and build up that communication channels, and you know where you're going and what works really well for people. And so for some people, exactly the same way not going to work. So you need to always change your ways. So I would say that initially, whoever starts in this kind of role and go into an organization, they can't just blindly go into, I don't know, different team meetings and try to teach people, you know, how to do information security. It's important to take a back seat, work really closely together with these teams, and then find out what is the best way. Is it HR who should be doing the training, because that's the best way that people are going to actually grasp what they need to do, or is it us from security, or maybe people want to see how various different things like a phishing email comes in and someone needs to do a demo, then maybe a security person is better placed and more trusted and got more credibility than HR, because HR not going to receive these these technical elements, these phishing emails, etc. So wherever it is, you always need to look at where it would sit better and who's got the most credibility in the area.
So HR is more and more the man in the middle, again, or the woman in the middle. And here's another thing that I remember a conversation we had about privacy and how you go to the workspace, the workplace, and then you go home and you're yourself. Now you are from home, so you may have to use that particular router, that particular phone. You're going to have the VPN, you're going to have other things just to be secure. And you may get to that point where there is a very thin line between your everyday life and your working life, if at this point there is a line at all that may get there. And with HR kind of being the contact point between the two, it's a very delicate situation and position to be in. So how do you see now in the future, as because even if we go back to the office, I think there's going to be more of a hybrid situation for many more people. So is HR always be doing the hiring and then the maintaining of the workforce and the mediator between the privacy and work and at home? Or do we need another department of, I don't know, maintaining PR with the employees? I don't even know. It seems to me there is a lot that is put on HR's shoulder.
Yes. I totally agree with you, Marco. HR, I think, under an immense pressure. There's so much going on, and they, above all, they need to really think about the well-being of people, because obviously there's so much going on, and some people need to homeschool, for example, and that gives extra pressure on people. They need to do their work as well and teach the children. So there's just so unbelievable huge amount of pressure, and of course, if you're not flexible with people, then they could go off sick, and then the work not going to be completed. So there's a very fine balance as well. There could be another department, who just looking at take the pressure off HR, but I think there's financial pressure as well. So you can't really afford to create another team. But it could be a different sections in HR who just deal with like employee well-being or just various different things, rather than a lot of different sort of responsibility per person in HR. So yeah, no, they are definitely under a lot of pressure, and anyone who works in HR, I admire their work, because it's not going to be easy for a while. I think even when we go back to the office, they're always going to be super busy, and there's always going to be new things to think about to enhance the well-being and the production of employees.
Well, complexity has been growing. I mean, think about IT. Security was the IT. Talk to the IT guy, and the IT guy was doing everything. And then till the day that he couldn't do everything anymore, and you needed someone else, and then you needed a CISO, and then you needed this and that. So it may be inevitable. I don't know. I think we'll have this conversation again in a year from now.
Hopefully, there's an ongoing conversation and everybody's having it. Mm. With that in mind, Dora, what I want to do is, because we're about to wrap here, what's the one, I want to look at this from both sides, security and HR. What's the one conversation starter that HR can lead with as they head to the security department and vice versa? What's that one conversation point that security can start with approaching HR? And is it a question? Is it a statement? Is it an observation? How do they have that in each direction?
I think the most important thing is to find out how they could collaborate better, because there's always opportunities for better collaboration. So whatever is the process is now, I would from both ends try to find out how they can meet up regularly and try to find out how to enhance each of those procedures to make technology's life easier when someone's onboarding and throughout the lifetime of an employee within an organization, and how could technology help somehow lift some pressure off of HR. So it is how to collaborate better together.
I love it. And I think, well, for me, that's the whole point of this series, right? Is to identify the relationships between security and the rest of the business. And it's easy to place that banner statement, security needs to understand the business, but what does that mean, right? It means different things for different functions, and that relationship matters. And it starts with trust and communication, as you mentioned many times, Dora. And I think, yeah, Marco, this series is going to, I'm excited about it. I think each function has its own unique role, and security can help them. And I think also, as we said at the beginning, security can be part of it, so they can raise awareness and help drive culture of security throughout all parts of the business.
And these are never ending series, because every time you get to talk to every department, then you're going to have to start from the beginning again, because something has changed. Hopefully not something as bad as a pandemic, but the transformation, the digital transformation, is not going to stop. Maybe next time it's going to be virtual reality that you have to use from home to perform your task. Who knows? So that's exciting. This was a great conversation.
Like,
I think we...
Chief Diversity Officers, right? Which presumably are extensions, HR. So there's lots of different... lots of different angles to go
virtual
here.
Virtual CEO and stuff like
virtual
that.
CEO, exactly.
Well, that was a great conversation. I think a lot of questions actually did come in my mind as we were going. Definitely not plan, as not script, as Sean and I usually don't at all until 5 minutes before. We don't even know what we're talking about.
We wing it.
So I hope the audience enjoyed it. And if you have some questions in regards of this particular topic, there will be resources and links to Dora's social media, I'm assuming, on the notes, the episode, and share it on social media.
Keep ITSP the conversation Magazine. Going there.
Yep, keep it going. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dora.
Imperva is the cybersecurity leader whose mission is to protect data and all paths to it, with a suite of integrated application and data security solutions. Learn more at imperva.com. HITRUST collaborates with privacy, security, and risk management leaders from public and private sectors to develop, maintain, and provide its widely adopted risk and compliance management frameworks, assessments, and assurance methodologies. Learn more at HITRUST.com. Key Resources has the software and services to help you manage mainframe vulnerabilities. Our mission is to guarantee a return on our clients' security investments by minimizing their exposure to data and security risks. Learn more at krisecurity.com.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Redefining Security Podcast. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itspmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.